There's Legos just flying in the background of my house.
Dude, this should be, that should be part, that should be the opening line of this podcast. Yeah. There's Legos flying around in my house.
You know why we haven't done our podcast in a year? It's because I've been stepping on Legos and injuring myself every time I try to come to this mic. This is the Restoring Our City podcast. We are back. We said we would be right back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, time is a relative thing, right?
No, it's very definitive.
Oh, man, I was trying to get away with that. you know, it'd be like, we'll be right back. I think we put our little temporarily open, closed sign and a year later. And we are excited to be back with season cinco.
Season five.
People thought we wouldn't get here. We are here. It took us some time to get to this point, but we are back with the Restoring Our City podcast, where we have candid conversations on today's topics to help connect our community. And we were on a bit of a hiatus. Jesswin, how's it going?
Yeah, it's been great. You know, when you said about today's topics, there's so many topics that happened in this last year, right? Almost a year since we stopped, but you know, what's funny is I was listening to season four, our intro episode about New Year's resolutions. Yeah. And it was so funny to listen to where we were last season when we started the podcast. I had just got married. I used to have a Michael Jordan poster hanging right above this bed. Now you guys could clearly see wedding pictures hanging here. So a lot's changed in a year for me. How about you, Joby? What's been going on?
I do want to applaud Stephanie on her decor choices.
I am a huge
Michael
Jordan
fan, but yes, I think, you know, things change. Like my background is completely white because we are in a new house.
All right.
We live in Dallas, Texas, and I am not used to saying that. I live next to a horse farm. There's a horse farm. We're in the city. We're like 10 minutes away from each other. The concrete jungle, but now it is literally just dry grass. And
yeah. we should rename this to Restoring Our Country, because now we're pretty spread out at this point.
Episode one, Restoring Our Podcast. We are bringing back the podcast. Woo! We can't restore the city. We need to restore our podcast back to its true form. But Jesswin, my brother, I am so glad to have you back. I know we'll have several of our collaborators back this season too. And I think it's really cool to just catch up. I know there's been a lot going on in the news, but let's just kind of level set. What has this last year been like for you? We've had to take a break, but how's life been like for you?
Yeah, you know, life has been, I feel like 1 year plus in marriage now, right? I think a marriage year feels like much longer than just one singular year. Not to say like marriage is not great, but you learn so much in year one. I think any of the married folks that are listening to this could definitely attest. You go through the ups, the downs, the adjusting to living to one another, understanding what ticks each other off, how to reconcile, how to argue well. So much learning happened in this last year. But on top of that, I'm back in school. Wow. So this fall, I started seminary at Moody Theological here in Chicago. I'm pursuing my master's in biblical studies, which is a theological degree. So yeah, full-time work and full-time school happened this last year for me.
What made you want to go back to school? Many people who are probably listening to us are trying to escape school, probably not going to class, probably listening to this, ditching class right now. But what made you want to pick up the books again?
You know, that's such a great question. And I think it's probably one of the things I want to explore maybe a little bit in this podcast is this idea of figuring out what is God calling you to do.
Yeah.
I know this is almost like a scary word, right? Like, what does calling mean? I think some of us think, you know, we're in our room alone in a quiet time and some divine voice comes from the sky saying, like, this is the will of the Lord, you know, and go do this. But for me, that's really not how this process happened. I think a pastor out here in Chicago asked me a question and just said, hey, have you ever thought about doing ministry? And for me, that answer was no, I never really thought about it actively.
Really? Like, even your parents are missionaries and
Yeah.
You've been involved for your whole life? Never?
No, you know, what's funny is you bring that up about my parents, and both of them, if I were to tell you, you know, what's their dream for my life? It wasn't to be a doctor, wasn't to be a teacher like them. It was just be a pastor, serve the Lord in some capacity.
Yeah.
So my entire life, I never wanted to do it because it felt like someone else's dream for my life, right? And and even that concept of, you know, God may have a plan for you. It's like, doesn't he have a plan for everybody, right? Like, I just want to be here, live comfortably. This is my plans for my life. But that question that he asked, I feel like that was the beginning of almost like a process of me just being restless, because I'm like, well, maybe something is there. And it kept spiraling and growing. And even in the initial seasons of our marriage, I'm like, this is on my heart and I have no idea what I need to be doing. But I just feel like the Lord just saying, prepare, prepare for what? No idea. But that's at least a little bit of the starting stages of my process, Joby. I want to pivot here, but and ask you, how did you guys even decide to pack it up from Chicago, Illinois, the best city in the world, to go next to a horse farm?
Well, I mean, I think if I had to sum it up, it's probably the gunshots. Like, think the violence. Half joking, but kind of serious too. Like, being in the city, I got two little ones now. So when we ended off the pod, I was expecting the second one, and she is here and almost 9 months, which is crazy. But, you know, living in the city, there's a practical aspect to it, right? Like, with, you know, you kind of get away with one, but like with two kids, stroller, car seats, all that stuff, it's crazy. And I think Chicago, the city, I absolutely love it. I think anybody who knows me knows how much I love the city, the culture, the train system. I mean, all of it. And I wish I could give you this clear cut answer. I heard God sounding like James Earl Jones, you know, like calling me in the middle of the night to move to Texas. It really wasn't that. And I think part of it, we're still trying to figure it out, but family being here, I think that's one big thing. My wife's family is from the Dallas area, and I've got a lot of great family here too. So this was a natural transition for us. And then we just kind of moved into a bigger space, into a house here. And so it made sense, but at the same time, we're still trying to figure it out because we really felt called to Chicago, and maybe that season was ending for various reasons. But it's still hard because we're in the middle of that transition. We're kind of here now, but what does God really want to do with our lives here? We haven't figured that out yet. And I think we're just trying to be faithful for where we are with the people around us and see if the calling becomes clear. I don't know if that makes sense.
No, that completely makes sense because I feel like I'm in that season, right? I would say there was such a strong restlessness in me, and you know what that caused me to do is kind of what we were talking about at the beginning of last year. It's when you're waiting, how do you wait well? How do you explore and discern and potentially see, like, well, is this it? Is this what God's calling to? Is that it? And it really became clear to us, you know, two different shifts had to happen. One is part of the preparation was to be in just a healthier church environment where we can serve in areas where we feel our callings might be, just to, you know, build up our own skill sets from a very practical standpoint. Also to just have a mentor, an older person to say, hey, these are my experiences in ministry. And, you know, when I'm watching you, these are some of the things I want to impart into you has been huge for me. And that third aspect of it for me was, well, there's one way to do a really great massive Bible study. It's to take a degree in it. And, you know, at the very worst case, you know, not even worst case or best case, you know, at the end of the day, what the Lord's calling to, I'm not sure. But at the very least, I will be very well equipped to serve the local body better if I'm working or if God calls elsewhere and that calling becomes clear that it's to leave the workforce and go into ministry, then we've at least started some initial parts of that process of equipping. But how do you feel like for yourselves, like that discerning process, what is God calling you to do? And in Dallas, like, what does that discernment or that process kind of look like for you at the moment?
It's hard to define it because a lot of the decisions are a blend between like, oh yeah, let's just follow God's calling over our lives, but there's like a practical element, right? I've got two kids. Mm-hmm. I want them to grow up in a safe environment, and I want them to grow up around, you know, family. I want them to grow up around a healthy church with people their own age. And even like, you know, culturally speaking, I mean, Chicago, and we, I don't want to make this political, but like, there are some things that are being taught in schools, and you see even the culture and vibe around certain places in, around the country that are kind of, you know, me personally, I feel like it's hurtful and harmful to some children too.
Yeah.
My wife works in the school system, and she sees it every single day. And it's like, wow, what kind of environment do you want your kids to grow up in? And I think about mm-hmm. the environment I grew up in. Like, you grew up with your friends who were like 6 or 7 years old in your church, and you're still friends with them 30 years later. You know what I mean?
It's yeah.
crazy. And you have this tight-knit bond and a church community. That's all of that's so influential. I want that for my kids. So there's a practical portion of it, which I think we made a lot of decisions based on that, but also we did say, hey, what's the one thing that you love the most, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, it's the city. I love the vibe, the comfort, being around, like, my family's all in Chicago, right? My immediate family. What would it look like to sacrifice some of those things, right?
Mm.
And still serve God? Like, are you using the city and your love for the city and like the comforting small group that we had that you were a part of too, Jesuit? It was like, what if we left all that to pursue what God wants us to do? And that's the scary unknown thing that I don't know. And mm-hmm. we kind of made that leap too. And so there's practical, and then there's a spiritual element of risk. That's all part of it. But we're really just like trusting in God to help us see the way, right? To see what's the fruit of it.
That's awesome. No, it's great to hear. And also just wanted to touch on one thing you said, right? You're, in some senses, you kind of know your calling. Your calling is to be a father and a husband. And out of that calling, it's, I need to lead my family in the best way that I need to lead my family. And it's operating out of that. And I just want to, you know, encourage the listeners too. It's like, hey, if you think your calling is some task that you are meant to do, right? Like, sometimes we forget, like, our calling is our identity in Christ. And that looks, I mean, if you're a student right now, you are called to study well. If you are in the workforce, you're called to work well, not thieve from your company. If you are single, it's called to be single well. If you are married, you're called to be married as a husband, as a father well. And that is your calling, right? Like, we don't need some sort of revelation and task to come down. Well, that's you're operating out of that.
I mean, I feel like that's where a lot of people look at calling as, what's behind door number three, God? And then he like tells you, you're like, oh my God, I'm going to be a pilot, right? Like, no, I heard this message years ago where there's like a providential will of God. And then there's also like, there's a practical aspect of being in the moment and serving him to the fullest capacity where you are right now. Mm-hmm. Just be faithful in that, right? And like, there's some things that he's called, like, my identity has changed over the past 4 years, three and a half years, to be a father. And I can't think of anything higher than that in terms of obviously being a husband and like putting our family first and relying on God. I don't feel like I'm doing a great job of that, but it's like, wait, I know I don't have to ask God, do you really want me to be a good dad? Like, tell me, God, whisper to me at night. No, I think it's pretty clear cut. So there's some things that I think the will of God is very clear cut that we don't have to do some mystery shopping or try to figure it out, right? It's clear as day. We just have to be faithful in it.
Yeah. No, that's great. Great even for me to hear.
But then like, who would want to go back to school? I still can't get, I mean, like, just read the Bible. He already gave you the book. You don't have to, I'm just kidding.
I actually agree. You know, for those that are out there, they're like, why spend the money for seminary? Dude, some of the best theologians and preachers we had did not go to school. They sat and read the word and had that. For me, you know, to talk about my experience just a little bit, you know, that restlessness really spiraled. I sort of mentioned that sometimes calling could just be a person asking you a question, right?
Yeah.
And so that question, I just couldn't shake it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. It kept growing. And finally, the Lord just started bringing people into my path. And so I met with this pastor from Philly. His name is Binu Abraham, part of Advance Initiative. And he just said, hey, maybe there is something here. Pick up this book called Am I Called? Literally a book that goes through these very intentional, practical questions Because if you have a calling and you don't pursue it, in some senses, that's a tragedy. But also, if you don't have a calling and you do pursue it, we have seen the effects of that within the church, right? We talk about failures. We've talked about that on previous episodes. It's really, you know, something that we have to discern and put some weight into it. I got to the end of that book with all those questions, and I just realized I can't really say no to any of this. So the question became, well, now what? It's not like I'm going to wake up tomorrow and quit my job. So it became, you know, in this season of life, at least for us, right? Like, we're not at y'all's stage with two kids, but at least now we have the time to be able to balance both. And huge shout out to Stephanie. That's been the support there too. But, you know,
but, to be honest, I do have two, so I can give you one if you want to just try it out.
Trust me, all the parents that we have in our lives have already offered. We've pretty much got like 12 tribes ready to go if we need it.
12 tribes. That's hilarious. But you know what? I think that's interesting too. I do want to get back to one thought, because I don't want to like downplay your decision to go to seminary. I think that's, it's awesome to have that knowledge. My younger brother, Joel, went to seminary in Bangalore, and, you know, working with people over the years, it's been so cool to see people who are well-trained, and there is such a skill to it. And I just chuckle a little bit, because people have always said, hey, when they have gone to seminary, they're like, you don't need to go to seminary. Or they like to downplay, like, man, you go to seminary and you come out of it like thinking crazy, or like they really challenge you. And maybe that's just your strength and your faith, or maybe you get a little shaky. But do you feel that it's like a gatekeeping type of community, where people are like, you are not allowed to speak on things or minister on things if you don't have a degree and you're credentialed in something, right? There's like this gatekeeping that happens there. But I think there is value, obviously, in having the knowledge and the credentials to it. What's your thoughts on that? And even pursuing ministry with it or without it?
That's such a good question, because I think that's what society is doing to all of us, right? Like, I am not a biologist. I don't have the credentials to speak to this. I am not a teacher. I don't have a credential to speak about, you know, this ideology that's being taught to children. You know, at the end of the day, I feel like God has given us all intellect and a brain, and he has told us to be as wise as serpents and as harmless as dove. He has told us to instruct our families. So that takes a level of knowledge that we have to take. Now, when it comes to your question specifically on ministry, that I feel like does happen too, right? Like, how often do we hear in like a small group setting, like, you know, I think this is it, but I'm not really an expert. We should probably ask a pastor. All of those things have value. But at the same time, again, when we put those things on a pedestal and you take someone else's word for gospel, right? You put it on par with the Bible and you don't really research it by yourself. Who knows if you're listening to a heresy when it's being said to you. You know, for me, you know, going with that line of thought, I think, you know, at the end of the day, I feel like seminary doesn't affirm you or say like, this is your credentials now to go in the workforce. In fact, I think, you know, in the Bible, it really just says, you know, don't be hasty on the laying on of hands, I think was like the phrase that's said in Timothy. It's, you do need people, you know, there has to be a calling from God, but there has to be an affirmation from some older people. That credential doesn't say, go to seminary, that's your credential.
Go to seminary, right.
Right. Because there's character qualifications. There's other things that have to be affirmed in you before you get up there and screw up that calling, you know?
That's a great point. Character qualifications. Because this is a ridiculous example, but hear me out on this.
Yep.
There are people who are experts in their field who could say the dumbest things. Right. So Kendrick Perkins, basketball analyst, former player of the Boston Celtics, went to the finals. He's on ESPN saying lots of dumb things. That's my personal opinion. And he's playing at the highest level. But then there's people who are like, what are you saying? That's the dumbest thing. And there's analysts who can pick apart a game who have never played a lick in the NBA. So it doesn't go this. It goes to show you that like expertise and talent, right, is in everything. You have to have the character behind it, especially when it comes to ministry, because you're dealing with people and their lives and like influencing how they behave. But if it's not rooted in the source, which is Christ and him being the example, it's, man, there's just so many dumb people. And we are starting a podcast again, and not to say that we are not going to say dumb things, but I'm so glad one of us is going to seminary to help.
Also, I mean, to your point, right? I think someone, I can't remember who said this, but you know, they mentioned, you know, if I hear something particularly foolish, but it was said with perfect grammar, I usually ask a person, did you go to graduate school? Because this level of foolishness has to be learned, right? This has to be learned.
That's awesome.
But no, to your point, right? Like we really, you know, for me in this season, at least, you know, this is just, I've loved it. I have nerded out. I have been able to rub shoulders with some great people and really think through some things even for myself. Like, what do I believe on? You know, like the gifts of the spirit, right? Like come from a petty environment. I've seen the abuse. Do I, you know, where do I stand on this? Where do I stand on some theological concepts, things that I wouldn't naturally dig in if I didn't, you know, really spend the time to do this. So yeah, that knowledge, we'll see where it's applied.
Yeah.
But it's been great so far.
And, you know, I hear people get challenged by going to seminary and just even when we try to explore our faith, and maybe like outside of seminary, but when we're trying to explore our faith and grow deeper in the knowledge of who God is, there are things that could probably test our faith and challenge it and maybe make it shake. But if we put our foundation in Christ, he shows us the right path. I can't help but think of like Psalm 119, right? Like when I think about why should somebody go to seminary? It's like, do you really love the word of God that much? Mm-hmm. 176 verses worth of it, right? To say in every iteration, I really love this, because not to get some piece of paper so I could wag my finger at people and explain things. It's like, wow, because I really want to understand who God is and like learn more about his plan for all of us. Right. So,
but also just to that point, Joby, it's like seminary can't replace community either though. Right. This can only supplement it. Right. At the end of the day, you know, it's almost like that concept of, hey, you know, I'm a parent. I'm just going to drop my kids off at Sunday school and Sunday school will fix them morally. No, it won't. It clearly will not. It has to happen in the context of community, right? Like what I am learning can only have fruit and only be supplemental to my community group, the people that are discipling me. You know, I think about the years that we spent together in a small group, even though we're not together at the moment, but for almost 2 to 3 years over the pandemic, all we did at small group was inductive Bible studies. We'd come together, do observation, figure out the interpretation of what that observation was, and then figure out application. What do we do based on this? That is all seminary has taught me, is how to do that better. That's simply it. It is all exegetical, observational, inductive studying, which has been great, but it's only going to supplement what has already been going on. So I encourage you, you know, if the Lord calls you to seminary, great. If not, you are definitely called to be part of community, be discipled, and look at his word for what it is with what you already have.
Shout out to the Chicago small group, to all of you who might be listening. Man, you really like struck a chord there with me, because now I missed that group so much. And I will peek at that Google Doc that we have sometimes. And it's so cool. And it's hilarious, because some of the notes that we make and like how we apply things to, hey, just watch Interstellar and you'll get this
I'll
video.
I'll stick it to that one too.
But you know what? I think that's awesome, because community doesn't replace our connection with God. I should say seminary doesn't replace that, right? It's, we have to still apply the word of God in our lives with our relationships with people. But, you know, when we talk about like a calling, right, and understanding, hey, is God calling me here? For the people who don't go to seminary or don't choose to go into a path of ministry, per se, do you feel like those people still have a calling? And, but maybe it's not in that specific avenue, right? Like everybody should be exploring what God's called them to do. Right.
Yeah. 100%. You know, it's so funny. I just went and watched the movie Jesus Revolution. If you haven't seen it, I actually highly recommend it. It is probably one of the first Christian movies produced by Lionsgate, which is not cheesy. But I walked away from that movie and it really told the story about how there was a sort of a revival that occurred within the hippie community back in the 70s. And through that, this prominent pastor's name is Greg Lurie, that I think some people might be familiar with. He did these harvest events. And I think we actually went to that Harvest Chicago event here together. It was just his story. But I walked away from that and I thought, man, we need more Christian movie producers. We need more Christian writers. We need more people called to school boards. We need more people. If you don't like your political candidates, who knows if that's your calling or not, right? For me, really, with this calling, it almost felt like, Lord, if I didn't do this, I feel like I would be disobedient to you. And I really feel like that's almost that driving force, right? Hey, if I don't do this, maybe I'm being disobedient to the Lord. And so that calling, again, it's going to manifest itself in so many different areas. I think one subset will end up in, you know, learning a little bit more through seminary. Another subset might, hey, you might be called to get into media and journalism, and you might be working through your parents' dream for your life. Just think about it, right? Yeah. We need people to enter into their callings to really bring that kingdom of God for the here and now, even though its fullness will come eventually when he returns. So really think about what that is.
Yeah, I think a lot of us in maybe in the South Asian culture feel like we are called to whatever my parents told me to do, and that's our calling. And maybe there's the hand of God in there in the background for this season of your life, because you never know how it's going to turn out. But you know, seek and you shall find. I feel like a lot of people don't seek hard enough, and they don't look to, they want it to magically fall in their laps. But I think this is such a great conversation, man, because one, we haven't talked like this in a while. I mean, I know we've connected over this past year and a half, but it's like, man, to get into these deep conversations and these life-giving conversations, that's one of the reasons why I absolutely love this podcast, is because the stuff that we talk about, like, randomly, if you were just sitting in my living room, that's what we're just recording and sharing with everybody. And it really helps people connect. And I just want to shout out the listeners too, because a lot of you have messaged us over this past year, or we've ran into random people who are like, when's the podcast coming back? I met somebody here when I first moved to Texas, and I was introducing myself. I'm like, hey, my name's Jobin. And they said, I'm so-and-so. When's the podcast coming back? And I was like, I've never met you before. How did you know about that?
I have run into that situation so many times over the past year too. So just to your point, yeah, shout out to everyone that's asked about this.
Yes. And please send us your thoughts, questions, find us on Instagram and all those fun social media channels. But we're excited to get back into things and talk about a lot of great topics. I feel like AI has taken over the world since we last left the podcast. But AI, the political spectrum, there's craziness happening all over the world, and like lots of good things, like the revival in Asbury and so many things, which is awesome, because I think there's conversations to be had, and I think those things help grow our community if we could do it authentically, right? Like, let's not have cheesy Christian podcasts that just talk about you can talk about your feelings, but you know, with the Christianese answers, if you heard our episode our last season. But I love the candidness that we could be like, hey, I don't know my calling just yet. And that's okay to sit in things that are not definitive, right? Jesuwin, this feels like old times. We're back, baby.
I'm excited to get it up and running. I am ready to see what topics we talk about this season. And I'm mostly excited for snacks. So stay tuned to find out what that's all about.
Yes, I think we are going to need some input from the audience. I will just personally say, after moving into a new house and then people come over, we've been just getting snacks. And I feel like we don't have all the Indian snacks that are essential to provide when someone comes over, like the mixture and all this. Oh, yeah. We'll have a little fun little segment coming up. But thank you guys for listening. If you have stuck around waiting this whole time, thank you. And if you haven't, Welcome to this madness. You can find us on Instagram, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can find the video episodes on YouTube. Just look for Restoring Our City and just hit that subscribe button. And then let us know your questions. We do some interactive stuff on Instagram a lot, so feel free to ask questions there. Go to our website, restoringourcity.org. We'll have some fun things coming up this season, but Jesuwin, I'm so excited to do this, man. Season 5, we are here.
Season 5, restoring our podcast, restoring our city, restoring everything, all right?
We are restoring the world, yes. Cool. Jesuwin, right, it's been a pleasure. Looking forward to it, man.
Let's do this.
All right.
All right.
for listening to this episode. Check us out at restoringourcity.org. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify to get the latest content. The Restoring Our City podcast is hosted by Jobin Verghese, Jasmine Thomas, and Bejoy Samuel. Graphics by Claire Skelly, Alexander Skowalski, and Teresa Studley. Our music is Jazzy Abstract Beat by Coma Media from Pixabay. Thanks again for listening.